Why don't you take your Bibles tonight and open them up to Numbers 13. Numbers 13, we're going to read a couple, three verses in just a minute. But before we do, I just want to say a couple things, sort of set the stage for what I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to deviate a little bit from Are You Smarter? Than a, you know, the three animals that we've talked about so far, the donkey, the grasshopper, and the ant. But I am going to talk about an animal tonight. We're going to revisit the grasshopper. In my Bible study, if you're going to put a title on it, it would be Grasshopper Thinking. Grasshopper Thinking. I want to remind each one of us that God has a will for our life. Every single person here, even the little ones in the back, even little Aaron, God already has a will for his life. In fact, he had a will for his life before he was born. He had a will for all of us before we were born. And so he has a plan for our life. He also has a will or a plan for our church. He knows what that plan is. We just need to keep praying. And I'm so glad that God, in our lives and for our church, doesn't say, you know, here's the final step. I don't think we could take that. I don't think we could, you know, we could comprehend it. And so he just shows us a little bit at a time, like he was taking the Israelites into the promised land. He said, I'm not going to give it to you all at once. You couldn't take it. I mean, you're not big enough to take it yet. You're not ready enough to take it now yet. So I'm just going to give it to you a little bit at a time. And that's what he does for each of us, for our church. He reveals his will to us a little bit at a time. And a lot of times we don't accomplish that will in our lives or in our church because we don't think right. We don't think right. There's a proverb that says, as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. And a lot of times when it comes to the will of God for our life, for our church, we don't think like Christians, we think like grasshoppers. And you'll see what I mean in just a minute. Let me just set the stage for the few verses that we're going to read tonight, and then I'll launch out into my Bible study. The children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They'd already crossed the Red Sea. They'd already gone to Mount Sinai and had Ten Commandments, the instructions for the tabernacle, the rules for living, so to speak, that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. They're now camped at Kadesh. They're at the door of the Promised Land, that place of that flowed, a land that flowed with milk and honey, that God kept his eye on day after day, that God had prepared for them. And they chose 12 people, 12 spies, 12 men to go in and look at the land and bring the report back to Moses and to the people. And so look at verse 26 of Numbers 13. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Let's go into chapter 14, just for a couple of verses. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return unto Egypt. I want to make four statements, and then I have 4 points in a little Bible study tonight. Statement number one, how you see things and how you think about those things dictate whether you will obey the will of God for our life. How we see things and how we think about them will determine whether we're going to follow God's will for our life. Number two, there will always be obstacles to doing God's will. I mean, there will be giants, there will be walls, there will be people that try to stop us from doing it. God, you know, and it hasn't changed from this day. It hasn't changed down through the ages. It won't change into the future. There will always be obstacles that we will have to overcome. Paul wrote, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. And he was talking about the opportunity he had to go into a place and preach the gospel. But then he said, and there are many adversaries. I mean, Paul, as he was following the will of God for his life, it wasn't easy. He ran into trouble every place he went. Number three, and this is none of these things are revolutionary. I mean, they're common sense. Satan does not want us to do the will of God. The closer we get to doing it, the more he'll pour on us to try to stop us. He's lost our soul. If you're a Christian, you're on your way to heaven, there's nothing Satan can do to get it. We're eternally saved. But he does want us to stop us from doing God's will in our life. And the closer we get, the more in touch with his will we get, the more he'll pour on us. And number four, if God be for us, who can be against us? If he be for us, who can be against us? So tonight, I want you to think about how you think about God's will for your life. I want you to think about those times you've run into obstacles, or maybe you're up against an obstacle now. Maybe you're facing a giant now. And I want you just to think about how you're thinking about it, okay? So here's my four points. And again, I'm going to talk about grasshopper thinking. These people came back and they said, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. I mean, compared to the giants, we were like little grasshoppers. We didn't have a chance. And so, 4 points. Number one, grasshopper thinking starts when we're closer to the problems than we are to the solution. Grasshopper thinking starts when we spend more time looking at the problems than we do the solution. We say, I feel helpless. I feel powerless. I feel insignificant. The problems or the obstacles are too big. They look insurmountable. They look uncrossable. They look unsolvable. And any time you spend more time looking at the problem than you do the solution, you start to think like that. And I know what you're thinking. Well, preacher, if we could see the solution, we wouldn't be thinking like that. I mean, if we could see the way out, if we could see the answer, we wouldn't think it wasn't solvable. We wouldn't think the giants were too tall. Okay, but I want you to see that the solution is God. The solution is his power. The solution is what he could do through you. And if we take our eyes off the problem and put our eyes back on God, it'll help us to stop thinking like a grasshopper. The Israelites saw giants. They saw the walls. They saw all the enemies that lived in this land. And they put their eyes on the giants and all the obstacles, and they said, we're like little grasshoppers. We cannot do it. And, you know, what Caleb was saying, oh, yes, we can. Let's go up at once. Caleb was saying, hey, don't you remember the God that brought us out of Egypt? Don't you remember the God that sent all the plagues into Egypt and freed us from Pharaoh? I mean, we just didn't walk out of Egypt on our own power. God showed Pharaoh that he was in charge. And when he sent Moses to say, let my people go, he really meant it. And he destroyed the nation of Egypt, killed all the firstborn. Now look, do you think that the land of Canaan is any harder for God to take than getting us out of Egypt? Don't you, and what Caleb was saying, remember that? Don't look at the giants, look at our God. I'm sure he'd go on and say, don't you remember what happened when we came to the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army was behind us. We thought we were all going to get killed. There's no way out. Mountains on both sides, the sea in front of us. Don't you remember what God did? How he split the sea, we walked across on dry ground. Don't you remember how he solved that problem? How we thought that river was uncrossable and he made a way for us to cross it? Don't you remember that? Don't you remember when he sent water from a rock? Don't you remember the manna that were, by the way, we're still eating every day? Don't you remember the things that God has done? And what Caleb was saying is, take your eyes off the giant, take your eyes off the walls, take your eyes off the enemy, and look to God. If you spent more time thinking about God than you did the problem, you wouldn't be thinking like a grasshopper. You'd be saying like Caleb, let's go, and I like what Caleb said, let's go right now. Let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's go up right now because we're well able to take this land, not because of who we are, but because of the kind of God that we got. I would just have you remember, any giant we fight, we don't fight by ourselves. Story of David and Goliath teaches us that. David went up against the giant Goliath, 9'9", 9 foot 9 inches. His armor weighed 150 pounds. The spearhead, the head on his spear, the point on his spear, the stone or piece of metal, whatever it was, weighed 25 pounds. Can you imagine what kind of hole that would make in you if he threw that spear at you? A 25-pound spearhead? And David, you know the story as well as I do. David went up to Goliath, ready to fight him, and Goliath was insulted. What? You send this little boy, got his little staff with him, and he got offended that David would come out and fight him, and he said, I'm going to feed you to the birds, boy. I mean, I'm going to chop you up, and you're going to be bird feed. And David, you remember what David said? He said, I do not come to you in my own power. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he said, Buster, you're going to be bird feed. And that's the way it worked out. And that's not in the Hebrew. That's the Manning translation of that story. I'm practicing, so I can, I'm making a list of stories so I can tell Aaron when he gets old enough all the ones that I heard when I was a kid. And I'm going to embellish them. So if some of you have them, Candy, like when he starts talking, say, well, this is what my grandpa said, you'll just have to say, well, let me tell you the straight scoop. But David, if he would have looked at Goliath and compared himself to Goliath, he would have said, well, he's right, man, I don't have any chance. But instead of looking at the problem, he looked at his God. He said, remember what he told Saul? I remember when I fought the bear. I remember when I fought the lion. If God could help me fight the bear and fight the lion, he can help me fight this big guy. And the same thing is true in our life. So many times we look at the obstacle or the problem or the circumstance in our life and we get discouraged. And we think, hey, there's no way out of this. I'm beat already. And you're thinking like a grasshopper. Take your eye off the problem. Put your eye on God. Remember, he was the God that saved you. He was the God that turned a dirty old sinner into a saint on their way to heaven. He is a God that directs you and takes care of you every single day. And if he can do all that for you and all that for me, he can certainly help us solve anything that Satan puts in our way to keep us from doing what God wants us to do with our life. So take your eye off the problem, put them on God. All right, grasshopper thinking number two will give you a bad case of the I can'ts. I can'ts. The I can't says when we see a problem, oh, I can't do that. I can't fix that. There's no way I can do that. And when we think like a grasshopper, that's what we begin to say. When somebody asks us to do something, well, I can't do that. I'm not, I just can't do that. Can't do it. And I wish I had time tonight. There are people sitting all over this room that I could give you personal stories from that said, oh no, I can't do that. And they're doing it. And they're doing it well. Because they got a God that's working through them. A lot of people say, well, I can't, I've had many people say this to me. I can't get saved because I can't live the Christian life. I can't do what a Christian does, so there's no reason for me to get saved because I can't. And they got it backwards. Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You don't live it to get saved. You don't turn over a new leaf to get saved. You don't change your life to get saved. You get saved and all that change happens. God makes all things new. And he gives us, you've heard me say many, many times, God never asks us to do anything without giving us the ability to do it. And all he wants us to do is trust him and take that step. And when we take that step of obedience, then he begins to work in our life and we do things that we thought were impossible. Again, he's going ahead a little bit in where we are in the Bible. You know, when God came to Joshua and gave him the battle plan for Jericho, and Joshua went back to the people and said, okay, here's the plan from God. We're going to march around the city one time for 6 days. On day seven, we're going to march around it seven times. The trumpets are going to blow. Trumpets blew every day. But on the seventh day, trumpets are going to blow, and we're going to shout, and the walls will fall down. And I'm sure there were people in the congregation and in the army who said, that will not work. There is no way that we can take the city of Jericho. I mean, the walls were so wide in Jericho, you could drive three chariots side by side on the walls that went around Jericho. Big city. And there were people who said, can't do it. No way. Just can't do it. There's no way that marching around the city one time for 6 days and then marching around it seven times the seventh day, blowing the trumpets and shouting, are going to tear down the walls. And you know what? They were right. I mean, the walls didn't get tore down because they marched around the city one time for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day and then blew the trumpet and shouted. That didn't cause the walls to fall. God's the one that knocked down the walls. And he did it in response to their obedience for doing what he told them to do. Sometimes God tells us to do something, and we don't understand why. We just don't understand why. We say, nothing will ever come out of this. I mean, why should I do it? Nothing will happen. God, and you're right from a human standpoint. What God has asked you to do may not end up in the result that he's telling you you're going to get. What he's looking for is your faith. What he's looking for is your obedience. We do not understand how God works. The Bible tells us his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. What he wants to do is have enough faith to be obedient. And then he'll take care of the rest. Is anything, Adam sang the song tonight, nothing's impossible to God. My faith looks up to thee. He just wants to see if we're going to have enough faith to be obedient. And it was the obedience and the faith of the Israelites as they marched around the walls of Jericho that caused the walls to fall, not the act of marching itself. It was their faith and obedience to God that caused God or allowed God to knock down the walls. And I know there's all sorts of scientists. Well, you know, if the trumpets were blown at the right spot around the wall and the people shouted at the right spot around the wall, then all the sound waves would beat against the wall and tear it down. Just like, you know, they figured out how the Red Sea parted. Look, it was God that did it. God did it. You can't explain God. You just have to have enough faith to obey what he says and leave the rest to him. Don't say, I can't, because when you say, I can't, what you're saying is, I don't think my God can do it. And we limit God, just like the Israelites. He said, I can't remember who it is, says, you've limited me 10 times. I wanted to do things I couldn't because you didn't think I could. You didn't have enough faith that I could do it. You weren't obedient. And he hasn't changed. The same thing happens today. If we doubt him, if we don't have the faith, we'll miss some of the blessings that he has for us. Number three, grasshopper thinking leads to complaining. We read the verse, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. I mean, when they decided they weren't going to go in, then they started complaining. They said, well, we would have been better off in Egypt. We would have been better off in the wilderness. We would just, I mean, we should have just stayed where we were. We should have just died there. And then they started blaming God. They said, wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? You know, when we start thinking like this, we start blaming other people. You know, so we sort of go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam, did you eat that fruit I told you not to? Well, it wasn't my fault. It was Eve. She's the one who gave it to me. Eve, well, it wasn't my fault. It was Satan. It was that snake. Aren't we the same way? I mean, we haven't changed. We're human beings just like they were. Why didn't you believe God? Well, it's not my fault. I love it. You know, so many of these psychologists and psychiatrists, well, it's your grandpa's fault. Had to be your grandpa. Or it was your dad's fault. You know what? It ain't grandpa's fault. It ain't dad's fault. It's our fault. I mean, we might as well just admit it. We start thinking that God can't do it. We want to find blame and blame somebody else. And so I'll just say, just listen to yourself. If you find yourself complaining about things, take your eye off the problem and put them on God. Just go back. I was talking to somebody, I won't tell you who, but one of the people I've been visiting the past few days in the hospital, they're discouraged. And I told them last night, I said, quit thinking about your problems. Think about all the things that God has done for you already. They wanted to give up. They said, you know, that sort of sounded like Elijah. I might as well just die. I said, no. If you got breath, fight for every ounce of every bit of life. When God wants you, he'll take you. But until he does, you fight for every bit of life. And don't get discouraged. Don't take your eye off your problem. Look at what God's done. And look at what he can do. Number four. Grasshopper thinking causes you to turn back. They said, let's make you captain, let's return to Egypt. What they were saying is, I quit. Can't do it. There's no way. I'm not going to go into the land. We might as well turn around and go back to Egypt. Now, listen, they had not fought one battle. They had not fought one fight. Well, I guess they had because they'd taken... No, they hadn't. I'm getting confused. They had not fought one battle. They had not fought one fight yet. And you remember? Here's the funny thing. They were saying, oh, there's no way we can take it. We're grasshoppers in our own sight, and we're grasshoppers in the sight of the enemy. You remember what Rahab told the spies? She said, we're afraid of you. We're so afraid our knees are knocking together. The people in Jericho were afraid of the Israelites because why? They heard what their God had done. We heard what he did at the Red Sea. We heard what he did to Og and Sidon. This was 40 years later. We heard what he did to those two kings over there on the other side of the Jordan River. And she said, we're afraid of you. We don't want you to come. And so many times, the obstacle or the thing that's keeping us from doing God's will, you can knock down like that, and yet we don't even try because we think, well, it won't move. It won't move. And all we need to do is just go, and it'll part. But we don't have enough faith to do that. We don't have enough faith to be obedient. And by the way, that's exactly where Satan wants us. Satan wants us to believe that God can't. And because God can't, we can't. And so we walk away from God's will for our life. We walk away from the blessings that he has prepared for us. Because, again, we don't have enough faith to be obedient. We have a God that can do the impossible. We have a God whose arm is not short. We have a God that can do anything he wants to do. And he wants to work through us. He wants us to accomplish what he's made us to do. That's why I like that song that we sing often. And some of the little kids pick it out. And I'm glad they pick it out because of what it says. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Man, if we could just get that into our noggins, and if we could just live our life based on those words, trust and obey. Just trust and obey. Just trust God and be obedient. Don't run away from the giant. Don't run away from the obstacle. Just remember the kind of God that we got. Let's have a word of prayer.